Just go to Scripture for a minute this evening, and we'll get you in this and through this in Psalm 116. Psalm 116 tonight. And I will not finish this. I will not even attempt to finish this. But we'll introduce this psalm to you tonight and show you where we're going to go with it. Take us another week or two to get through it. And if you're visiting with us tonight or not aware, we have for many years now been going through the Psalms verse by verse and psalm by psalm, studying them together. And they have been a blessing to my heart. We've hit a spell of these psalms known as the Hebrew Hallel, or we would call it the Hallelujah Psalms. And they are particular psalms that are centered around giving praise to the Lord. And we've enjoyed studying beginning in Psalm 113. And we'll make it through Psalm 118. And these six psalms are known as the Hebrew Hallel or the Hallelujah Psalms. And so we've gone through 115. Let's stand together. We'll read Psalm 116 to you in your hearing tonight. And we'll set the stage of this. And I love this psalm. I believe you'll find that it's very relevant to every, if you're saved tonight, I believe this psalm is so relevant to our Christian life and our Christian journey and relationship to the Lord, and I trust we'll be able to show you that this evening. The Bible said in verse number 1, and you're going to appreciate, if you're saved, you're going to appreciate how this psalm begins. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I hope that you love Him tonight. I will go on, this kind of into my outline, but I'll go on record tonight and say that I love the Lord. And I do love Him. And I know I'm preaching and teaching and speaking to some people tonight that you love the Lord as well. And so the psalmist said, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Then the psalmist begins to describe the Lord in verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise, here's where we get that Hebrew word Hallel, or that universal word Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You can be seated this evening. Psalm 116 brings us to this fourth of the six Hallel or Hallelujah Psalms of praise to the Lord. And we know that because in each of these, or nearly each of these, it begins or ends or begins and ends with that phrase that we ended there in verse number 19, praise ye the Lord. And literally, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallel, give the Lord the praise that He is worthy of and that He deserves. These songs sung around, you remember we have said over and over in each study of these psalms that they would be sung around the Passover meal, the beginning, the middle, and then the end of the Passover meal the Hebrews would partake of. In celebrating their exodus out of Egypt, they would end it singing portions of these psalms together. And as you study these psalms, again, beginning in Psalm 113 through 118, here's what we've already found and we'll find tonight and in the coming psalms that we'll study together, that each settled upon a very particular element in our life and our walk with God, our relationship with God, that is intended to inspire us to simply and particularly praise the Lord. And so He'll do that in Psalm 113 by calling upon us as the servants of the Lord to praise His name. And we're settled in the particular element of the character of Almighty God and His position over heaven and over earth and all the affairs of both, that we would praise Him for being a sovereign, providential, divine God. And I'm thankful that He is tonight. In Psalm 114, the particular focus of that psalm is the exodus out of Egypt. How that Israel in Egypt's land was captors and couldn't break free from the chains and the power of Pharaoh and of Egypt. And yet the Lord broke them out, and the Lord set them free, and in doing so made a great demonstration of the power of His presence upon the people of God that was so great that how could you not help but praise God, thinking about the liberation that He has brought about in our life. And then we studied Psalm 115, and there it hits upon particularly maybe a national or a ministerial element that a nation can brag upon the Lord, and that the people of God in a congregation, that the Lord has helped us and the Lord has been our shield. And that though the heathens may have gods they can see, their gods do nothing for them. They are not. They have eyes, but they see not, and ears, but they hear not, and feet and hands, but they handle not, and they walk not. And so as the heathen would look at us and say, where is now your God? Why they're holding their God in their hand, why they set their God on an altar, why they carry their God with them wherever they go. It's better to have a God that is unseen, that is, than a God that is seen, that is not. And the psalmist calls upon us that we would praise Him for the fact that God is, and He is living, and He is real, and He is listening, and He is watching, and all of these elements that God in His character and God in His manifestation unto us as His people has brought ought to inspire praise to you and I. When we've read Psalm 116 tonight, these 19 verses, the theme or the element of this psalm that seems to have been standing out to me is that this psalm seems to me to be very deeply personal. It's very deeply personal. This is not about a nation. This is not about an entire group of people being set out of Egyptian bondage. This is not about just in generality the God that is over all of creation. But then, Brother Larry, the psalmist here is hitting upon a personal aspect of his relationship with the Lord. And so Psalm 116 is deeply personal and really meets us on the grounds of what our relationship with God as His children should look like. And so this psalmist, he's going to speak of his life as a child of the Lord, a child of God. We would say tonight, a child of the King. And he's going to talk about his relationship with God as it is to his personal life.
As we've read this psalm, let me point out a few things. It'll get me to my thought tonight. I'll give you the first point and we'll be done here about 8 o'clock, all right? And consider this with me in this psalm. The psalmist speaks about the problems of his life. The problems of his life. Somebody maybe would think, well, I thought children of God and Christians didn't have any problems. I didn't think once you got saved that there'd be any more issues to ever have to deal with. But as we read this psalm, we're reminded of the reality that is even in our own life, that there are things that you and I face, even being children of God, that is just a part of life. Many times we preach on about problems or troubles or hardships. We automatically remind it and remind you of what Job said, that man that is born of a woman, he is a few days and full of troubles. And it doesn't matter if you're saved or lost, we all go through hardships. And all of us, no matter if you know God or you don't know God, if you're saved or you're lost, if you're going to heaven when you die or hell is your destination right now in your relationship with God, the fact of the matter is we all have problems. And the psalmist begins to describe some things that he is facing that relate to the problems of life. Let me point them out to you, running through the psalm quickly. In verse number 3, he describes the sorrows of death. The sorrows of death. He says in verse number 3 about the problems of his life, he is facing the pains of hell. And we've got to be careful describing things that we're going through as, and I don't mean to be crude tonight. I don't mean to cuss, especially in the pulpit. But to just be honest and open about what some people describe about what they go through, they'll say, well, I'm going through hell. And the fact of the matter is there's nothing we could go through in this life that would be equivalent to the pains that a lost man is going to face in hell. But there is an element about this, the pains of hell, that likely the psalmist has in mind. He feels as though hell is working against him, and hell is inflicting him and afflicting him in these problems that are in his life. Now, I've got news for you. If you're a child of God, hell is your enemy. And hell is out to make life hard on you and painful on you every chance they can. And the psalmist is describing the problems that he's facing as the pains of hell. He speaks in the end of verse number 3 that in his life he has found trouble and sorrow. Again, in verse number 6, the psalmist said, I was brought low. Now this is him describing the problems of his life. I'm not sailing through the clouds. I'm not skipping the mountaintops. But I'm in a season of life right now that really I've been brought low in my mind, brought low in my heart. He speaks about his soul and what his soul needs to do in returning to the Lord for rest in verse number 7. And so we could say that his soul has been brought low. And so there are elements of his life. He's not soaring, Brother Riley, with the wings of eagles. He has this sense about his soul and his life that he just feels cast down. He feels despair. He feels discouragement. Maybe even an element of depression has crept in upon his life through the problems that he is facing. He'll speak in verse number 8. Listen, he talks about the fact that he's been dealing with death and with tears and with falling. With death, with tears, and with falling. And I've learned this. I'm not old, but I've lived long enough to understand I ain't the young buck that I used to be. And here's what I've learned growing old and getting older, Brother Jack, that there are going to be times that those sorrows of death. You feel like something's dying on the inside of you. And there's going to be seasons where you weep and you cry and the tears are going to flow for whatever reason. And there are going to be times where as a child of God, that you feel like you're slipping and you're falling and you're stumbling your way through your Christian life. And oh, what a problematic season of life those senses and those experiences can be for you and for me. He said in verse number 10, I'm talking about the problems of his life. He said in verse number 10, I don't mean to depress you. We'll get some good stuff in a minute. You say, preacher, I didn't have come here about all these problems. I've already got them in my own life. But I'm going somewhere, Brother Jack. And to get there, we got to understand and appreciate this. He said in verse number 10, he said, I was greatly afflicted. And there were afflictions that mounted up. And the word greatly means they were enormous both in number and in diversity. And I was, here's really what he's saying, Brother Mike. I was afflicted by many things on every side. Every time I turned around, it was coming from this way, and arrows were coming from this way, and it didn't seem like there was any escape from the affliction that I was going through. He speaks about in verse number 16, he references my bonds. That there were things that were holding him captive. There were shackles upon his hands and upon his feet. He was not at liberty in his life. He wasn't in liberty maybe to worship. He wasn't in liberty to just let loose and let go. And maybe even a sense where in this season it got so difficult that he literally felt as though he was in prison. I want you to understand tonight all of these descriptions in this psalm of this psalmist's life. He's speaking of his life as a child of God. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. At God's people, no matter who they are, that we all face problems. And that's a fact. That is a fact of your spiritual life. We get discouraged, we have trouble, and we have sorrow, and we have to deal with tears and afflictions and stumblings and imprisonments of our own heart and our own mind, imprisoned our own situations in the way of escape. This is a fact of life, even in the life of God's children. I don't care how long you've been saved, troubles are never going to go away. I don't care how spiritual and righteous you live, problems are not going to evade your life. And so the psalmist here tonight, whoever he may be, I didn't get in all of that. Maybe next week I will. Be it David or Hezekiah. Both of those men had times in their life that though they loved God, though they did their best to walk with God, and even had failures in their life with God as a child of God. The fact of the matter is, both of those men knew what it was to have problems and battles and fights and afflictions and hardships in their life. And if David had it and Hezekiah had it, guess what? I'm going to have some and you're going to have some. And that's just a fact of life that we've got to come to terms with. You're not so saved and you're not so spiritual and you're not so heavenly minded that you're going to go through your life without some problems even as a child of God. But notice with me in this psalm, he not only speaks of the problems of life, but he speaks of the prayers of his life. I'm glad tonight that though the problems are real, they're reality, and let's be honest, sometimes they mount up on us more and greater than we think we can bear. But I'm glad that through the problems of this life, that there is a place a child of God can go with those problems. There's someone we can carry those problems to. May I remind you, the one we carry them to is out of this world. I am that friend. He knows that. He already is aware of what we face, and yet what grace and comfort and peace and rest there is to the child of God to be able to pour out our heart about the afflictions and the problems of our life. The psalmist may have had problems, and he does, and you and I do, but I would point out to you this evening a lot of ways I can preach this. Let me point it out this way. He's got problems, and he's giving those out, and in some ways his soul is a reflection of the psalmist's prayer life. Notice what he said four times specifically in the psalm where he speaks about calling on the Lord. He said in verse number 2, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." I don't know how old the psalmist is here. But Larry, I don't know. I don't know how long he's been saved, how long he's been walking with God, but it's been long enough, Brother Riley, to know this, that there's a place he can go the rest of the days of his life. You and I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. We don't know if the problems of today will be awaiting us on tomorrow or if there's going to be new problems this time next week. But I'm glad that I've learned this. As long as I live, there is a God I can pray to and call upon no matter the problems that are going on in my life. And so the psalmist said, as long as I live. What a determined child of God. Amen. Oh, he may be discouraged. He may feel imprisoned. He may feel the sense of being greatly afflicted. And tears may even be rolling off of his cheek. But I love this about the psalmist. And may God help you and I to get a hold of this tonight. That no matter what we're going through, we better not leave out that prayer of the child of God to seek the face of the Lord and to carry those problems to the throne of grace as long as we live. What are you doing with your problems tonight? What are you doing with your afflictions tonight? What are you doing with your tears tonight? A psalmist said, as long as I live, if none of this ever turns around, if none of this gets any better, if all of this gets worse, as long as I live, I will not abandon my place before the throne of God. Amen. Calling upon the Lord, as long as I live, he said again in verse number 4, then when the sorrows of death had compassed him in the pains of hell, he said, "God, hold upon me when I found trouble and sorrow." Notice what he said. "And then called I upon the name of the Lord." Amen. Can I tell you what problems ought to do? Problems ought to drive us to our knees, and problems ought to cause us to call upon the name of our God. Amen. If you didn't have any problems, you'd begin to get too big for your britches, so to speak. You'd begin to think, man, I don't even need God. I'm doing well on my own. And then God will let some problems come in our life. And the psalmist said, the moment that I sense the sorrows and the pains and trouble upon my life, all of that, it drove me to my knees in prayer. And for that, and if that's all that comes out of our problems, that's enough to praise God for tonight. And our problems put us at the throne room of God. Amen. Verse number 13, he'll say it again. "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Those of us that know what it truly is to be saved. Amen. To be lost in sin, to be on a road to hell, to know the condemnation of our sin against us and the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon us and the deliverance and the salvation that only Jesus could bring. While if anybody ought to be able to pray through their problems, it is those that know something about the cup of salvation. He said, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. Notice with me again in verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And so four times in this psalm he speaks about very specific terms and different connections to that in our life. Even when I am giving God thanks and worshiping Him, I'm always going to be in tune that the way I'm going to make it through the problems of life is by calling upon the Lord. Amen. Not calling upon my buddies. I'm calling upon my girlfriends. I'm not calling upon the brothers and the sisters to bail me out. But to maintain my relationship to the throne of grace and call upon the name of the Lord and pray my way through my problems. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Notice with me in verse number 19. The Bible said here, and I'll call this the praise of his life. He ends his psalm simply saying, praise the Lord. And the whole psalm is about being delivered. It's about what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done. Listen, not just in, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but not just in delivering him, but what God did for him in the midst of what he was facing. Now it would seem as though the psalmist is on maybe the other side of the season of the problems that he's gone through. And now the psalmist says, this psalm being a hallelujah psalm reveals the psalmist is praising God as he makes his way through his life. That he is as a child of God, he is saved and he is delivered. He has this awesome access to God by way of prayer, and that God's grace and God's righteousness and God's mercy is then activated in his life. And now the psalmist said, there is a praise of my life, and it ain't patting myself on my own back, and it ain't bragging on what a mighty supernatural and spiritual superhero of a Christian that I am, but I want to praise the Lord because I understand that the only reason I've ever come through any problem, much less all the problems in my walk with God, has been that it has been God all the way that has helped me make it through. Amen. And so we as God's children, I'm telling you in these days, and I feel like the Lord in recent years has been teaching me things that I thought I knew all along, but he's been driving some things deeper into my life. And I'm telling you today, the Lord wants us to praise him, and the Lord wants us to worship him, and it doesn't matter where we are, and it doesn't matter how we feel, and it don't matter what season of problem or hardship or affliction or trouble that we're in, we must learn that as a child of God, there's to be the praise of God that is a part of our life. We've got to get to the place in this generation of Christianity that we are reflections of the relationship that Job had with God, and in the midst of losing all of it, in the midst of a day of problems, one day of problem after problem, and that would mount up to more than most of us could handle in a lifetime. And yet in that day of problems, Job is able to say and lift his hands to heaven, blessed be the name of the Lord. The psalmist has said, I may have problems. I may be in a season, and I'm making it through prayer, and I'm making it through all of this. I'm just praising the Lord. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to praise him when all my problems are over. Well, you're going to be waiting probably a long time. Amen. I don't want to depress us any more maybe than I already have. I don't mean to depress you tonight. Amen. I feel pretty good in my own heart right now about it. Amen. But it's been said you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. I don't mean to depress us tonight. Amen. But you're either living in problems, coming out of problems, or getting ready to go back in problems. And that's just a fact of life. And if you're going to wait till there's no sign of trouble, no sign of problems to praise God, then you're never going to praise God. You're never going to worship the Lord. And the psalmist learned the secret unto the journey of life for the child of God. And in our spiritual life, we're to maintain that the Lord is the praise of our life. Amen. Where I want to get us to in this psalm is the passion of his life that he speaks of. I won't make it no further than the first phrase of verse 1. Y'all come back next week and we'll knock her out, okay? But notice, women, the passion of his life. He begins here. I love the Lord. In its Hebrew word, and I don't get big in all that, but in its Hebrew word, it simply conveys one's affection for another. The psalmist is saying, I have affection for the Lord. I am fond of the Lord. There is something in me that is passionately burning and yearning and set upon the Lord of my life. And I want to say this evening, the psalmist may be up against some things, as we have already described in this psalm, and noted all the ways that he deals with that. He may be up against some things, but, and I tell you something tonight, the psalmist is still in love with the Lord. He has not let the problems drive him away from his God. He has allowed, my friend, the problems to drive him to his God. He has not allowed the liars and the heathens and those that have afflicted him and come against him to divide his heart against God. My friend, he said from the very get-go that I love the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, as a child of God, there ought to be a passion in our life that goes beyond our love for our spouse and goes beyond our love for our siblings and our love even for our children and grandchildren, as great as that is. My friend, there's a love that ought to thrive and burn and be more passionate than all of those combined within our heart. And that is that we can lift our eyes to glory and we can stand and say tonight in reality that I love the Lord. You say, preacher, that seems so elementary. And in a world where everybody says they love God, We've numbed it down that everybody can say they love God without having any fruit of really truly loving God. Amen. I'm not talking about the casual, love you, man. That's not the theme of the psalmist's statement here. When he said, I love the Lord, he has said, he's the reason I wake. He's the reason that I go on. He's the reason that I'm making it through my problems. He's the heartbeat that is within me. He's the air that I breathe. He is everything to me. I love the Lord. And it doesn't matter what I go through, that my love is not waxing cold. It is not getting smaller. It is not growing colder. But thank God it's growing and it's growing. And the more I face and the more I experience, the more I pray and the more I praise Him and the more I know Him and the more my fellowship and relationship with Him grows, and the point that I can stand and say that what I face doesn't cause me to love Him less. It causes me to keep on loving Him. Amen. These days, I understand that's elementary. But you would be amazed if I was to stand, and Brother Joe could probably stand even, no doubt, all night long and give accounts of people because of problems they went through in life or out of church tonight. They're bitter against God. Amen. Things didn't go the way they dreamed and the way they planned, and they had losses and they got their feelings hurt, and somebody upset their apple cart, and tonight they're mad at God because things didn't go their way. Amen. I've seen it over and over. I've watched people that one time shouted and run the aisles and pitched babies and sang the glory down that you couldn't hardly stand to be around them tonight. Because of problems they went through, they lost their passion for the Lord. Amen. Let me say this tonight. Amen. Let me not say that. Let me just get on to this first point tonight. It'll help us. And I'll get off this and we're going to go to the house. It is tonight our responsibility to love the Lord. Amen. Notice with me some observations in this psalm about praise for the Lord. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. This matter of problems and prayer and praise and passion. Here's what I want to preach on tonight. This being a hallelujah psalm, a praise psalm, and yet it's a psalm that declares our passion for God. I'm preaching this psalm around the theme, Brother Mike, of praise for the Lord you love. Amen. Amen. Now you could go through the motions of praise and probably not love Him. That's probably a possibility. You could shout and carry on and make a show and never really have any love for God. True love for God in your heart. But I believe it is impossible, Brother Ronnie, for someone who truly loves the Lord to not be able to praise Him. That would be an impossibility to love Him and not praise Him. If that hits you wrong and upside the head, I can't help it. People who love Him, praise Him. Amen. And I don't want to get in the place where we measure that by the outward. It's not what I'm preaching tonight. But what I am saying, that if we truly love the Lord, there will be a praise come from our lips, up out of our heart, across our vocal cords, across our tongue. There will be a praise of the Lord that we love. Amen. Amen. We had a man in my first church. And he was during my time there, he's just a wonderful man. He was hilarious. And we called him, Carl, we called him Wingnut. And Wingnut, he kind of had a hairdo like Carl has. But his ears stuck way out like this, and we called him Wingnut because his head looked like a wingnut. Amen. And we didn't mean it offensive. He received it as it was. Debbie, you're about to fall in the floor, but he received it as a big to-do. He liked being called Wingnut. And he is married to the former pastor's daughter, Sister Lynn. And she was strange in her own right in a lot of ways, but just wonderful people. But I'll never forget. I'll never forget Wingnut Steve come up to me. He said, you know, preacher, he said, I told my wife I loved her when we got married. And he said, I just figure if I ever change my mind, then I'll let her know, but I'm not going to tell her. What he's driving at, he ain't telling her that he loves her. Amen. I told her one time, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. That was Wingnut's mentality. Amen. That's stupid. Amen. And that's what I told Wingnut. That is not cool, man. Go tell your wife you love her. And yet we bring that in the spiritual realm. And I say tonight it's just right that we tell the Lord that we love Him. When we love on Him, when we proclaim our love for Him, He receives that as praise and the praise that it is. And I would draw out tonight several things here. Observations through this psalm, just in that phrase tonight. Number one, consider with me, and I'm done, the record of loving the Lord. The record of loving the Lord. He says here, I love the Lord. But Joe, just simply, I love the Lord. What a way to start a psalm. I mean, cut right through the chase. and not much poetry and not many things in the way. Just drive right to the point and declare what the theme of his heart and the passion of his heart is. Just simply, I love the Lord. This phrase is a statement revealing the testimony of the psalmist's relationship with the Lord. It is a record. It is a testimony that this is his heart. And may I say tonight, all of us especially, and maybe particularly if we're saved and children of God, we can say tonight there ought to be a record. There ought to be a testimony of our life that we could say, that we could project, that we could reveal, that we could display to those that are around us, and particularly to God himself, that I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Is that the record of your life? Is that the testimony you have as a child of God? Or when people think about you, they know you love hot rods, and they know you love hunting, and they know you love fishing, and they know you love whatever it is that you do. I mentioned kind of some of mine. Hey, man, those are things that I love. And people know that about my life. But I hope that they don't just know that I love hunting and fishing and the outdoors and love working and love building and love constructing things with my own hands. I hope that there's a record and a testimony in my life that people can say that I love the Lord. I love the Lord tonight. Amen. This is the first and the greatest commandment. It ain't a commandment about your attire. It ain't a commandment about places you should avoid. It's not a commandment about this and that and do's and don'ts. But this is the first and the greatest commandment. And if we can get this down, everything else seems to fall in place. And Jesus said that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul, and this is the first and greatest commandment. We focus on all these little things that make us feel like we're big time Christians. The first and greatest thing where it all must begin is having a record in our life that we love God. Amen. You say, preacher, do you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul? I'm trying to. I wouldn't dare proclaim, amen, the depths of it. Amen. I'm sure I fall short like all of us do so many days. Can I say the testimony of our life ought to be, I love the Lord. There are people I'm preaching to tonight that I believe would have no trouble saying, I know him or her, they love God. Don't get mad at me. There's others I'm preaching tonight, I don't know if you do or don't. I don't mean that. I don't mean to be a jerk. I ain't trying to be a jerk, but Larry, there's just some I don't know if you do or don't. Amen. Amen. Well, ain't we having a time? Notice it is a personal record. Amen. It is a personal record. I love the Lord. He has no problem. Brother Larry, listen to this. He has no problem going on record that he loves the Lord. In fact, he wants it on record. And God thought enough about this record that the psalmist wanted as his own personal record of his life, that God inspired it and God put it there and God preserved it in the Word of God for you and I tonight. That about this psalmist, it is the testimony, the personal testimony of his life, that he loves God. No matter what is facing, he has stayed in love with God. No matter what has come against him, he stayed in love with God. No matter what has been brought upon him, he has stayed in love with God. I'm telling you, it is a personal record. He'll speak later in the psalm. We'll get to it. And he said, I'm the son of thy handmaid. I'm the son of thy handmaid. What David is saying is, my mama loved you. My mama served you. My mama knew who you was. My mama loved you, but it ain't about my mama's love. I want to go on record and say, and I love the same God that mama did. It is the personal record of his life. It's not enough. I want my children to understand tonight. It ain't enough that you know your daddy and your mama love God. You've got to love God for yourself. You've got to come to love him for yourself. And you can love him for yourself. You can love him for yourself. Amen. Stay in love with God. No matter who walks away. No matter, my friend, who gets discouraged. No matter who stands against you. Understand it is our personal responsibility to bear the testimony that we love the Lord. It was a personal record. Number two, it was a, can I put it this way? It was a pointed record. Notice when he said, I love thee, Lord. I love this, Brother Mark, I love this because the psalmist here, he is not focused here on others who maybe it seems don't love the Lord. How easy that is to start pointing out other people that don't love the Lord. The psalmist says, let all of that fade from view. And that's hard sometimes. Gets harder as you get older, can I be honest? And I don't know if it's a season of life that I'm in. If I'm being honest, sometimes I feel the distraction creeping in of looking upon others not loving the Lord as they should. The only thing that happens when we go looking at how others ain't loving him more than being pointed, having that pointed record that I love the Lord. I'm focused on him and loving him more than I am on everybody else who doesn't. The only thing that does is distracts us from being able to love the Lord as we should love him. Though he speaks of his present problematic season, and he does. He's going to go through all the things we went through. I'm done. Give me 90 seconds. I'm done. He's going to speak in the problematic season he's going in. But before he ever talked about the sorrows of death and the pains of hell and the trouble and the sorrow and the bonds he had and being greatly afflicted and the death and the tears and the falling and the being brought low, before he got to any of that, all of that was predicated and filtered through, I love the Lord. You cannot handle the problems of life if you do not filter them through the loving relationship that you and the Lord have with one another. That's why people go getting bitter. That's why they fall out. That's why they get mad at the preacher and mad at the church and mad at God and mad at everybody. Because they don't filter their problems. They don't filter their disappointment. They don't filter their letdowns and their discouraging times through that love of God that he had toward us first. And that John said, we love him because he first loved us. If we'll learn how to filter all that junk and all the mess and all the hardship through the love that we have for God in Christ Jesus, it'll help us stay pointed and in love with the Lord. Amen. That's good preaching. God gave me that on vacation. Amen. It is a proclaimed record. This psalm is a public proclamation. Listen to what I'm going to say now. Amen. My 90 seconds just ended. Give me 90 more. I can 90 this thing to death till midnight. Amen. No, I'm not either. Let me just say it this way. The psalmist is not ashamed. It's a public proclamation that the psalmist is not ashamed of his love for the Lord. It's like he's telling all of hell and every man that has stood against him, you may have tried to knock me down and divide me from my heavenly Father, but I want to go on record and proclaim I love him, I still love him, and by his grace I'll always love him. Amen. Hell and men, verse 3 and 11, may be set to bring him down, but if he goes down, if they do bring him down, it will be while he is unashamedly declaring his love for the Lord. Amen. I don't know. Amen. There's some days I feel like, man, I got more on me than I can handle. But I've made up my mind, Brother Joe. I've made up my mind. If I ever go through something so hard that knocks me completely down, I'm going to go down staying in love with the Lord. Amen. And I want that proclaimed. Amen. And Sister Pat, I need you to hold me accountable. Amen. That if you see me not doing that, say, I remember, you just point your fingers. I remember, big boy, when you said you was going to love the Lord no matter what. Amen. Because I'm going to hold you accountable. Amen. I'm going to hold you accountable. Amen. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm telling you, Brother Mike, I'm going to hold you accountable. And no matter what we go through, I want it on record. I wanted the testimony of my life. If I go down, if everything around me crumbles, let it crumble while I'm still staying in love with God. Amen. What a record tonight.